Well, I've come a long way on my spiritual journey from the days when I was a scientific humanist materialist. I'm hardly a church-going Christian on a regular basis, but I have to tell you, I was more offended, mortally offended this last weekend than I think I've been in a long time. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Whittle here with Steve Green and Scott Ott. And as we record this, it's the 2nd of April. It's a Tuesday, just the first Tuesday past that holiest of holy days for so much of this country. That would be the National Day of Transgender Visibility. President of the United States came out on Easter Sunday and said, on this wonderful day of transgender visibility, we recognize the tremendous accomplishments and achievements of all of those transgender individuals who have paved the way for so many of the rest of us. Gavin Newsom, who can always be relied upon to put a smooth, slick face on the worst, most evil things ever, also addressed the state with his wife in tow, talking to us on this wonderful day of transgender visibility. Now, gentlemen, if you think that the National Day of Transgender Visibility happened to occur on Easter Sunday by accident, I got a bridge I want to sell you. Yeah. So let's get down to that aspect of it. We can put all the outrage out there on display like everybody else, but I don't think this is an accident, and so I want to get into what's going on here. Steve, I was talking about this on the Stratosphere Lounge show, and I'm sorry, Stratosphere Studio show last night, and I was trying to find an expression that reflected how I felt about it, and somebody in the comments section said it was a slap in the face, and that's exactly what it was. It's a slap in the face to have the President of the United States and the Governor of California address the nation on this day that we all revere so much, this day of transgender visibility. It's a slap in the face, and I think it's a provocation. That's what I think.
Absolutely. There are a couple of things that are maybe a little less sinister on the surface, but deep down, I think, is at least just as bad as it appears. First of all, this fake celebration. And by the way, apparently there are almost as many days on the calendar celebrating LGBTQT to something as there are not.
They've got a list of all the days of every month. There's something like 7 or 8 days every month that are going to be.
It's not like visibility is a problem anymore. It's I'm not even sure what to equate celebrating it to. National Buggy Whip Manufacturers Day, maybe. I don't know. Not that we're running out of certain kinds of people, but the celebration part is maybe the visibility part is maybe a little overdone at this point. So this thing was established several years ago by a trans woman who is about as convincing a woman as
as Rachel Levine
Rachel Levine would be one example. I was going to go a little further. I was going to say as Paul Lynde is playing a John Wayne role. This is just not how you cast things. And it's been set for March 31st for however many years it's been, but eventually it was going to coincide with Easter. Just that's the math. It happened. Biden didn't make his pronouncement on Easter, as far as I know. He made his pronouncement, if he made it, and I'll get to that in a second. And this is the part that is definitely on purpose, because the way Easter shifts around, these two were going to coincide eventually, and it did. But Biden, or Biden's people, chose to make his public announcement, and this is the on-purpose part, on Good Friday. That was very much on purpose. That was very much a slap in the face. That was very much an attack on Christian believers in this country, who I will defend to the death, because even though I have never found faith myself, I am on Team Judeo-Christian, because that's the only team that's going to accept me. If I were in an Islamic country as an agnostic half-Jew, I would not have a very happy life there. So thank you, Team Judeo-Christian. I am here for you, just like you have been here for me. Okay, that said, this, as I said, was very much on purpose. Newsom, I do believe, made his pronouncement on Sunday. Again, this is a slap in the face. This is what he does. And the method to the madness here is it's to be dispiriting. It is to wear us down through a process of attrition that we just won't raise our voices against this stuff anymore, that we will accept the slap in the face with an endless turning of the cheek. Well, don't. Don't turn the other cheek. Don't let them wear you down. Keep speaking up.
The sense, Scott, that I got throughout these announcements and the surrounding publicity of it was, this is the new holiday. This is what the new holiday is. Easter's out. Easter's old-fashioned. Easter is for, you know, the white supremacists out there, and that this is the new holiday now that you will celebrate in the spring, among many others. And I think Steve's point about that is right. It's on some level, it's designed to make you feel like the country I grew up in no longer exists anymore. It's Easter Sunday. Somebody showed a picture of downtown Manhattan. It was taken in 1956, where the three biggest buildings in Manhattan had crosses on them at nighttime with the internal lights. And you look at that, and you go, my God.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, it was a half a century ago. And so a big part of this is to convince people that this is the new country you live in now. This is what your new holidays will be. And it is, to me, if they had said this is Transgender Day of Visibility, which is happy coincidence that it also occurs on Easter Sunday, I would be 90% less outraged about this. But it's not so much that it was the announcement of that so much as it was the absolute unwillingness to acknowledge that Easter was a holiday at all of any kind. And that to me is where I felt that slap in the face. That the religion that is baked into the structure of this nation's freedoms is simply not even going to get the time of day from us now.
Well, I have to say that because the announcement or the signing of the executive order for the Transgender Day of Visibility happened on Good Friday, and then the day itself, the Transgender Day of Visibility, fell on Resurrection Sunday only 2 days later, I didn't have time to get out to the store and get any cards or any presents.
Nope.
or prepare the kids for the nocturnal visit of the Transgender Visibility Giraffe. There was just
which
no
is
time.
Actually about 3 feet high.
and it's the only purple giraffe.
You know,
it's actually a dog. It just identifies as a giraffe. But please don't let me interrupt you.
I don't
you.
Read all of the executive orders. However, this caught my eye. You are loved. You are heard. You are understood. You belong. This sounds like the greeting card that I was going to buy, but actually this was in the President of the United States official thing. And then he said, which I think was a copy, was the title of a Stephen Colbert book, "You Are America, and my entire administration and I have your back." Well, just for safety's sake, sir, I'd like you to come around to the front where I can keep an eye on you. When somebody told me about this, I saw something posted on one of the social media channels, or somebody texted it to me or whatever, and I thought, okay, we're coming up on April Fool's Day. This is clearly not real. And I think my wife actually told me about it. She saw it on social media. And so then I immediately went to wh.gov, which is the White House website, and did a search, and by golly, there it was. There was this declaration. I also thought it was interesting that they're referring to people who are LGBTQI+ people. And the plus is just because they didn't want to put up the whole string of 57 more letters that they might run after that to cover all the different categories of people who demand to be recognized now. But I thought, boy, the negotiations over where that plus should fall had to be intense. Like, it didn't just go like LGBT+, it's LGBTQI+, and there's somebody who's pissed off that their letters didn't get in there before the plus sign.
Oh, yeah. Which is why they'll lose.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's sad, it's comical, it's you know, Offensive.
It was offensive to me anyway.
It's slouching toward Gomorrah. I will tell you that as my wife and I and our son and his wife enjoyed Resurrection Sunday services at our church, this was not on our minds at all. Because, you know, whatever the President of the United States did on any day of the year, the fact that we all got together all around the world and recognized that a guy was in a tomb dead and then got up and walked out of that tomb and is now, he is Lord of all, that seems significant to me. What this guy does in the White House with his spare time and surrounded by his buddies that he's hired because he feels compelled to doesn't affect me at all. What his priest is saying, because we all know that Joe Biden is a very serious, very, very good devout Catholic, just in the same sect as Nancy Pelosi is a very devout Catholic. You know, what the priest had to say about that, I don't know. But I'll tell you, the people who love Jesus are praying for this poor old man and for the poor people who have fallen under this delusion.
You know, one of the worst things about this kind of thing is that when they use things like this as a provocation, because it is a provocation, it ends up making you feel bad about people, angry towards people who I actually never used to have any anger for. Yeah. I mean, really, I have no axe to grind against transgender people. They can live their lives any way they want to. But when they start doing these kind of things, then it starts making me angry. When Gavin Newsom and his wife got on and one of them said, "This is a day when we celebrate all of the tremendous achievements and contributions of the transgender community," I opened my mouth out loud and I said, "Name one." Now, that's not something I would have just come out and said. I wouldn't have woken up that morning and just said, you know, "Damn you, transgender people." No, this is what happens when you weaponize people against one another, which is the essence of what critical theory is. Now, I actually have a theory about this, and I'm quite convinced about this. When I say it's a provocation, I mean it. It is designed to make you insane. It is designed to push the far, 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 far end of that bell curve just a little bit closer to the point where they're going to go out and start doing something that everybody's going to be talking about. I genuinely think this is the plan. I genuinely think that January 6th was a disappointment to the people that basically orchestrated January 6th. I think that if you look at it in the big, big, big picture, Nancy Pelosi and all the rest of these people were really quite disappointed that all these Trump supporters didn't showed up and didn't bring their guns. This idea that we are going to push you out of your own culture and you're going to like it is designed to get people on the right into a place where they feel such despair that those people on the far edge of the bell curve feel like there's nothing left to do but to start taking some kind of wacky and weird action. So be careful and be guarded against that. But I think finally, whether you believe in Jesus as a divine being or not, you do need to be aware of the fact that there are conscious efforts underway, and this is one of the most visible of them, to engineer you out of your own place in the society by a very small group of people who have nothing but contempt for you and the institutions that they've been elected to. This is a slow motion coup, and I believe personally that, like so much else that they do, it is all going to backfire in the end. I think that when they continue to do things like this and the whole transgender athlete thing and so on, they are pushing what used to be run-of-the-mill garden variety Democrats who maybe had union jobs or factory jobs, or maybe they just liked the idea that the Democratic Party stood for the little guy. As they become more and more radicalized, those people get pushed out of that circle. Doesn't turn them into Republicans. It would if we had a message to deliver, but we know that story already. But it does mean that they're just no longer willing to vote and pull the lever for this kind of not only insanity, but just sheer raw offensiveness. And you can push the middle all you want to. I'll just close by a conversation I recall reading about during the Civil War between a Confederate and a Union sympathizer who were friends. And this is a true story. And he was talking about, the Union guy was saying, "You Southerners are so hot-tempered. You get so angry so easily. You're so easily excited. Your people are very temperamental people." And that's why you did this secession thing. He said, my people, speaking of the North, my people are calm and hard to move to anger. We're like a giant boiler. It's very, very hard to get enough heat on this boiler to get that boiler to actually operate as a boiler. But once it does, it will generate more power than you will ever know what to do with. And that's the sense I get in America today, is that the great, huge middle of the country is continually getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And sooner or later, and I'm hoping, when I say sooner, I mean November of 2024, we're going to start seeing some work get done out of all of this heat that's been pumped into the system by people who could have just left all of us alone and everything would have been just fine. For Steve Green and Scott Ott, I'm Bill Whittle. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on Right Angle.